I'd like to introduce our speaker. I asked him if there was any special way he wanted to be introduced, and he said no. But I do want to say, thinking back on this brother and everything I know about him, if I had to choose one word to describe him, it'd be faithful. So let's sit up, listen, and pay attention, and let's start Brother Bryce off with a good amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to start off with prayer, even though we've already prayed, but so we can go ahead and turn over to Hebrews chapter number 6. I'll pray while you guys are turning there. Dear God, we thank you so much for all you do for us. We thank you for the love of God down in our heart. Thank you for what Jesus done on Calvary for us to get that, God. We are definitely very nervous, so we pray for your help. We know we can do nothing without you, but we also know we can do all things with you. Thank the Lord. So we pray in Jesus' name that you would help us and help us all to get something from this. Amen.
Amen.
Book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. Verse number 10, and I'll say, it's good to be here. I love camp meeting. There's nothing like it. I plan to spend my vacations here in the future and other places at camp meeting. I'm thankful for Brother Sterlocky's confidence in me to ask me to speak. It's an honor, and it's good to see you all. So, Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." I want to talk just a little bit about your work and labor of love. And God needs some workers. He needs some young people that'll work for him. He needs some laborers. And there's good news. He's hiring. God is hiring. When you think about a good job, you think of things, what do you think of? Good pay, right? That's a lot what people are concerned about most of the time. And it pays to serve God. How many found that so? It pays good to serve God and to work for God, right? It pays a lot better than any earthly thing, any material gain. Any amount of money, it pays much better to work for God. And if you're looking for a job, if you're looking for something to do, he's hiring. Maybe you're already hired. Maybe you're already working for God. There's good news. There's room to grow. You will always be growing. There's room for promotion, right? That's a good thing when you're looking for a job. When you're, especially when you're a young person and you're looking for a career to go into, you're thinking, is there room to improve? Is there room to grow? Right? That might be a question you ask. Something else you might ask is there good benefits? This kind of goes along with the pay. Sometimes, you know, you look into 401k, things like that, just other types of things with benefits, right? Well, there's benefits in serving God and working for God. Amazing benefits. One thing some people consider is retirement, right? Some people consider retirement. And that seems like a long way away from us, right? Being young people, but some people think about that. They think about retirement. Well, there's a place called heaven. Now, when we get done working, there's no better retirement. There's nothing like it. The scripture don't even say much about it because we can't comprehend it, how good it's going to be. The scripture don't even teach us much about it. But there's one thing that it doesn't have, and it's PTO, paid time off. It is a full-time job. It is working all the time. You don't have no time off. But really, when you get the love of God down in your heart, you don't want no time off, honestly. But it is 24 hours a day working for God. And so there's a few things that the intentions for laboring must be. And I guess one way I could say it, your intentions for laboring make all the difference. Working for God. Some people they think it's working for God, but really, they're thinking about themselves. They're looking for a place. They're looking for a high seat like the Pharisees did and others. So your intentions mean a lot. And that's why in Hebrews 6 and 10 it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor." But he didn't stop there. He said, "of love." I'm thankful for that song. It kind of encouraged me a little bit because it goes right along with some of the things I want to talk about. But one thing before I get into it, And stay with me, but the New Testament's written in Greek. I think some of us know that. Right. The Old Testament's written in Hebrew. Well, the word love, there's at least 7 different words in the Greek that are translated to one English word, love. And so, an example of that would be, I was going to have Mallory come up here, but she says she's too nervous, so I'm not going to. But I'm going to be marrying Mallory soon, and I love Mallory, okay? Well, I also love Adam, which is Mallory's brother, Brother Adam Polston, and he's going to be in my wedding, okay? But I'm not marrying Adam because I don't love Adam like I love Mallory, right? Does that make sense? Those are 2 different types of love. If there's a child, you love a child like you don't love Adam. You love a sports team like you don't love any of them. And so there's different, but the English, it just says love. Well, the love that the scripture talks about a lot of times is actually none of those things. And the places we're going to be dealing with love in your work and labor of love, it comes from the Greek word agape. And I read this definition. I think it's a good definition. It says, a love for all humanity, including the poor, less fortunate, even people that don't like you, without expecting anything in return.
Right.
A selfless love, an unselfish love, and an unselfish spirit is really what this is talking about. Right. Jesus loved you, right? You have the love of God down in your heart. Well, could you do anything for him? Or had you done anything for him when he died for you? It says we were yet sinners when he died for us. We were doing the opposite of his will if you're saved. And Jesus still loved you. And so that is the same type of love that we have to have. And the same type of labor. We are our work and labor of love. If you turn to Revelation, and don't worry, I'm not getting into symbols, so just stay calm. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2 to verse 5. The letter to the Ephesian letter. Jesus is telling John, he says, Tell the church this. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That word love is agape. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. And so as I was studying for this, I've been studying this letter actually, and I got a burden for this message, not realizing it was going right along with what I've been studying. He tells them this is the early morning church from AD 33 to 270. They start off doing real good. What are they doing? They're working and laboring out of love for the name of Christ. Not for themselves, but something happens. They leave their first love. And so they start out, and he says, what does he say? He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works. So a lot of times when we think of love, we think of, you know, just the way we speak to people, the way we do things, in which that, you know, that goes into it, or I love you, or just words. Well, really, it seems like what he was dealing with was more of work and labor and patience for the name of God. In 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need. There's some young people that have needs. We heard about some of them in prayer meeting. They have needs. There's some unsaved young people. There's different ones with needs. And I say, if you're here and you have a need, God can supply that need for you. He can help you. He loves you. But in this verse here, it says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, or in other words, they're able to help their brother in need. It says, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so if we're going to work for God, and we're going to labor for God in love, we have to do this in our actions, in our deeds, in our works. We're going to have to make some sacrifices. And sometimes you are going to get nothing in return from them.
Right. True.
Some of Jesus' teachings was, he said, love your enemies. Do good to them that curse you, right? Bless them that curse you. And those that treat you wrong, those that do you wrong, you still have to love them. Right. And that's the very definition of that word, love. Agape, you love anyways, expecting nothing in return. That's the kind of love that we have to have deep down in our heart. Like that song we sang, we have to have that love, and it will make a difference. And God is not unrighteous to forget that. He will reward you. He will bless you. But that's one of the conditions. If you're going to work for God, you have to do it out of love with the right intentions. With the right intentions and for the name of Christ. To see the church progress, right? To see the church grow. We all want to see growth, right? We all want to see the church packed. We all want to see people really get an experience, really get saved, right? But it takes some labor. Like when a mother is about to give birth, what do they have to do? They have to labor. They have to go through some pain. They have to do some things. But when the baby's born, oh, that's a miracle. It's amazing, right? That's what it's like when somebody gets saved. The church is like the mother. They got to labor. They got to do the work. But then it's a great blessing when people really start getting saved. It's such a blessing. And I just want to reiterate that the kingdom of God is hiring. God's looking for some workers. He's looking for some young people that'll sell out with the right intentions. He's looking for some people to call to do a good work for him, to maybe preach, to maybe be a singer, maybe be a prayer warrior. So many times people are looking for a job that everybody will see. And everybody will see, right? The church is likened to the body of Christ. Okay, but some of your most important parts are on the inside. When they start talking about eternal bleeding, people start getting real scared, right? I mean, that would scare me a little bit. When you see it on your hand, it's like, eh. You know, you see it, but they say, you know, you're bleeding from the inside. That's kind of scary, right? Well, the body of Christ needs some people. And really, this is how you know if you really have this love of unselfishness and a selfless love. If you can get on your knees and pray for the service when no one else is watching, when no one else knows about it, that is what we need. We need some people that'll work, some people that'll really love God, some people that'll labor for His name's sake, not for their own fame, not for their own glory, not for people to look at them. You know, you can fast, the Bible says, in vain. You can pray in vain. Jesus said they have their reward, talking about the scribes and Pharisees. Why? Because they done it, just like, oh, I'm fasting. I haven't ate anything. I really look horrible. But he said, get yourself looking together good. Don't tell anybody. And then fast. That proves the love of God. Don't just pray out loud and pray for a long period of time, he told him. But pray in the closet. Pray in secret. Right? That's where the love of God is manifested. He needs some people that'll be those internal body parts. Some people that no one knows what's going on, but they're really laboring behind the scenes. And God sees you. God sees those things, and He will bless you for that. No people might see you, but God sees you. And God knows. Jesus, the world wants to do away with works, but in every single Revelation letter, it started out by saying, I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy works. That's what Christ's saying. I know thy works. I know thy works. And that goes for good or bad. He knows if you're slacking. He knows if your love is waxing cold. The scripture talks about the love of many shall wax cold. I want you to think back. Was there a time you were working for God harder? Were you really, did you really have a burden for souls? Were you really praying, really being faithful to get down and pray for the service? Really paying attention in service? And now you've kind of slacked off a little bit. That's a good sign. Your love is waxing cold. And there's great danger in that. We can see history will tell us that the church ended up falling. But anyways, I felt impressed to deal with some of these things. And there's many scriptures we could deal with. And, you know, this love, it's important. If you don't get anything else, remember what this love means. It's an unselfish, selfless love. God needs some people that are not selfish. In fact, Jesus said, if any man follow me, the first thing he said was, let him deny himself. You have to deny yourself. There's not a such thing as a selfless or a selfish Christian. The word Christian means Christ-like, and Christ was not selfish. He was the most selfless man to ever walk the earth. right? We can't be selfish. There's too much selfishness right around the church. It's people show it by their fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the first thing listed is love. It's that same word. It is unselfish love. It is a selfless love. That's the love that we need. When it says charity never faileth, that word charity is agape, the same type of love. That's the type of love that never fails. That type of unselfish spirit, unselfish love, it never fails. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse number, we'll just pick up verse number 45. Actually, we'll just read this real fast. Verse number 40. It says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, he's talking about the goats on the right, or the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right hand. The goats look like the sheep, but they're not. Okay, and here's how we know the sheep between the goats are God's people and the ones that just look like them. In other words, okay? Verse number 40, it says, and when the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, who's the king? Who's the King of Kings? That's Jesus Christ, right? And answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And I guess we'll just pick up that verse. I think that shows it, that gets my point here. But if you treat one of the young people wrong, that's your brother. Right. Or anyone else in the church, you've done it unto Christ. Right. Isn't that serious?
Amen.
As much as you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then what's he say? He says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, on the ones acting like they're a Christian, dressing like they're a Christian, walking the walk. Or not walking the walk, talking the talk, not walking the walk. But he says, depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so, when we're not showing love to the brethren, to ones right around the church, you're doing it to Christ. Even if you think it's the least person, and in fact, you ought to not even think that way. In James chapter 2, verse number 8, when people come to camp meeting, when people come to the church, when people come to revival, when you have a visitor come in, you ought to treat them good.
Right.
You don't know where they've came from.
Amen.
You don't know their background. They might have not been raised in church. They might have went to a church that didn't teach things right. I mean, you could go on and on with that statement right there. You don't know where they've came from. You don't know what they've been through. Love never fails. Charity never fails. You want to win souls? Remember that. Charity never fails. James chapter 2, verse number 8, it says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, what was it? What's the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as, well, the greatest commandment, I think, also was love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. But also he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, and you could go back at the start of that, it talks about a rich man coming into church. You can tell he's got a nice suit. Maybe he's got a nice suit on. He looks like Brother Borders back here. He looks real nice. He comes in, and you say, oh, yeah, you come sit up here. Hey, have you guys met him? But then someone right off the street comes in, looking rough. Their hair is all sticking up, crazy. That's respect to persons.
Right.
That's what the scripture teaches. And it says, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. If you have the love of God in your heart, you won't have to worry about this.
Right.
Okay, but the Bible teaches, try the spirits whether they are of God. In 1 John 4 and 1, and it's talking about false prophets, but it's good for us to try our own spirit sometimes. And really, the Word of God's like a mirror. And it's good to look yourself in the mirror now and then and try your own spirit. And make sure nothing's working on you. Your love's not waxing cold. And you would still treat somebody, a young person that's not very popular at school, comes in. How are you going to treat them? Are you going to treat him like you treat the quarterback if he came into church? Or the popular kid at school? It all matters. You cannot be a respect of persons and have the true love of God in your heart.
Amen.
So I say it matters how we're treating people. And what a sad thing to think that you are really somebody to where you couldn't, where you look down on someone with special needs or something like that. You make jokes, you make fun of people. For whatever the need is, you cannot be respect of persons. You must love everyone,
Amen.
Even your enemies.
Right.
And so our labor and our work for God needs to be out of genuine, true love down in our heart for even people who can't do anything to us. Let's go read 1 Corinthians 13, then I'll be done. We'll start in verse number 2. It says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains." Those are good things. Those are things we maybe should pray for. Pray for knowledge. Pray for gifts. Desire gifts. That's a good thing. To learn, to have faith. But he says, "And have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And this is good for us right here. Listen to these verses. I want you to think about yourself for a second and try yourself. Don't be... A lot of people like to take the mirror of God's word and go, whoop, he's really laying it on him right now. And they like to think about the person right beside him, but you need to keep it on you. And think about yourself for a second. It says, "Charity suffereth long." Long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. It says, "And is kind." "Charity envieth not." That's a good one right there. "Charity envieth not." How's you been envying people? You've been running people down? A good sign of jealousy and envy working is you're downplaying their success. Somebody's a little bit successful. Well, you don't know it. And just trying to downplay what they've done. They sang a really good song. Well, I sing it. Envy. If you got the love of God in your heart, you won't envy. "Charity envieth not," the scripture says. "Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." These are good. This is some good studies for us. Study on this chapter right here. "Charity is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly or inappropriate, seeketh not her own." Charity is unselfish. "Is not easily provoked." Some people are just very easily provoked. They're just waiting on somebody to say something, and then they're out the door. Just waiting on to take something wrong. "Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Charity never faileth.
Right.
And we'll drop down verse number 13 there. It says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these three is charity."
Right.
You know how important faith is? The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God.
Right.
But then it says charity is greater than faith. That's pretty. Sounds like a pretty important thing. Something we need to consider. If you don't have that in your heart, you don't have that in your life, I got good news for you. It's available. And God's hiring. He's looking for some young people to get on fire for God. I think the scripture says, "Let no man despise his youth, but be an example of the believers." In charity is one of the things it lists. In charity. You want to be a good example? Be an example. Show charity in your actions, in your works, in your labor. Pick up the phone sometimes. Go just tell someone it's good to see him. We missed you. You know, you see somebody sitting by themselves, say, "Hey, come sit with us." See somebody doing something all alone, they're looking sad, go talk to them. Charity never fails. And if you don't have that desire, something is wrong. Or you need to grow. You need to seek God. You need to pray for that. If you're looking to work for God, you're looking for a place to work, you're looking for something to do, maybe you're down, maybe you're sad. That song said, what did it say about being I'm so happy, so very happy. It's a sad thing when young people are just down all the time. They're just sad all the time. But there's good news. Love can lift you. The love of God, He loves you. No matter if your parents love you, no matter if you have any friends or not, God still loves you.
Amen.
He wants to lift you up out of that condition of being down all the time, being what they say is depression, those different things. God loves you. And the love of God, I love that song, "Love Lifted Me," we sing. It says, "Love lifted me." And I think, you know, we have a part to play. The scripture talks about lifting someone up out of the fire that you saved. somebody that you labored for and worked for, and they ended up getting saved. It says you lifted them up out of the fire. We can lift people with our love, with that same love of God down in our heart. We can lift people. And so, yes, Christ's love lifted us, and thank God for the love of God, right? For the love of Christ. But we got to show that to other people. We have to, and you know, that really, that is manifesting that you got it. You know, that you really got the love of God in your heart. But maybe we could sing that song. You guys know that song? Love Lifted Me. Anybody know it? Thank you guys for your attention.
Amen.
Amen.
In the evening light songbook or song app. I don't know.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no
Master of